Radio presents the Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge, raising money for comic relief. Donate now by going to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. FUBAR and Geekatorium, doing something stupid for a very good cause.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yay! Time for admin. Tell us your admin, Paul.
Paul, do the admin. I love it when you say www. And things like that.
This is going to be like, it's another podcast. We'll just skip through the first 3 minutes.
Yeah, I would. So let's keep this short. Please donate. We'd like your money.
Give us your fucking money tonight.
So go to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. If that's too long, because now Gillian Anderson's told me
she off. Said it's officially too long. Yeah. It's Anderson too long.
All right. Can I amend it now?
Can I amend it?
No, I think I can amend it. It still makes no odds. I'm going to try and amend it.
Don't amend it now. You can't go back. People might listen to this another time.
Oh, that's a good point.
Have they given us any more money, anybody out there?
There've been a few and I've just skipped it. But we are on.
What are we on?
Give some shout-outs to some people who've been kind, if anyone's worth...
I've lost the names in the fuzz. So,
but thank you.
Thank you. We are at 130.
Ooh.
So we're getting there. We're crawling by.
Give us more money.
Give us it. I've just had a text from fantastic comedian Nick Revel. He says he's going to pop by in 45 minutes.
Woo-hoo.
So, I'll text him back in a bit and say, please come. Please come. We need chit-chat.
We do need some chit-chat.
Yeah.
Are we going to play a game now, Paul?
Yeah, we are going to play a game now. So yeah,
donate.
Donate. So all you got to do is just go to the website, click on it. If you go to geekatorium.net or fubarradio.com, all the links are there that will tell you how to give your money to us. It's really that simple.
I am starting to lose my mind, I think, a bit.
It's good. Massively libelous, contentious stuff that you come up with at 4 a.m. when you just can't think whether you should or shouldn't say it. That's what I'm most looking forward to.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, cool. Let's play this humming game.
Oh, yeah.
Let's play the humming game.
Right, so...
The Humber Games.
I like what you did there. So, there's a bunch of bloody rules and stuff. We're not going to play the rules version, are we, obviously?
No. So, I suppose it depends if it makes it really complicated, if we don't know what the rules are.
Yeah, if it makes it unplayable.
I honestly just think the way the game works is that you have a card, and in the minute timer, you've got to hum as many for the other person to guess as possible.
Ah, so it's name that tune
so
what by like, humming.
So we can go first, and then see how
So
it
who
goes.
Goes first, then?
No,
who
goes,
wins?
Who's on second? Who goes... Oh, fuck it.
So you go boss.
All right, let's... give us the timer. Where did you put the timer? Where did you put... Oh, it's over here. Right.
You got the fucking timer.
All right, so I'll start, right, and... we'll do it, so your first person to shout out gets it, okay?
All right,
and we'll do it in a minute, see how we go. So, starting now. I wish I knew more of the song.
Strangers in the Night.
No. Right, no, all right, next one. You wanted to play this. You don't know what
I'm
this
enjoying is. Enjoying you. This humming. Do it again.
Oh, God. This is the sound of a madman.
Eye of the Tiger.
There we go.
Rich scores one.
I don't know this next one.
That was really weird because it was like looking at your sex face.
That is not my sex face. And no one wants to see that. I don't know the next one because it's Nicki Minaj or Minaj, and I don't know any of her songs.
All right, fair enough.
Okay.
Coronation Street.
There we go. And the
he's
last
running away with it.
The last one is a band, so I'll just do one of the songs.
Time's up.
Who was that?
That was Take That. I could only think of Relight My Fire, which I grant you.
I'm going to have a go now.
All right, okay.
Give me it.
There's yours. If you don't know him, just skip it.
Okay. Right. You ready?
Yes.
I can't do it. I can't do it if you laugh.
Go on.
Sounds like someone being thrown into the back of a car boot.
Listening to someone's telly through the other, through a wall.
I have no idea what this is.
Is that the Sugar Hill Gang?
No, it was almost.
I don't know.
White Lines.
White.
I have no idea.
Listen,
just tell us.
At the end, it goes. It's the Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
What song?
Oh, the Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Oh, okay, because that's also the name of his who he was before he became. He was the Fresh Prince, wasn't he? I didn't. All right, so go on.
Fucking hell, mate. Seriously.
Next one.
Okay.
If is it Konica, Colours Are Calling Me?
Is it Ghostbusters 2?
Mistletoe Wine.
Fucking hell. This is an awful game.
Is that
this
it?
Game sucks. No, it wasn't Mistletoe and Wine.
I didn't know.
You should see when he went... I don't know.
I'm hoping someone's just tuned in.
It was Wild Horses by the Rolling Stones.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Okay, let's try this one.
What did you give up on?
Oh, I can't do it. I'm always. I'm
Avril
really...
Lavigne, I'll give you that. I don't know. Oh, I don't know half of these ones. You've Got the Love from Forest and the.
Shall I give it a go?
Yeah.
Shall I go?
Right.
You've got a hum, haven't you?
You've got a hum. You can't just sort of sing into your mouth.
Madam.
I don't know that first one.
Yeah, just skip them. Here we go, rocking all over the world.
Yeah, status quo. But he is cheating because he's doing the mouth.
I'm going to let him off because at this point I can't.
All right,
it's harder when you don't. Yeah, it's easy. If you could do the mouth trumpet, you can fucking do it.
Yeah. All right, I don't know what the next one is.
Go on.
So I have to do. Just humming these.
Yeah.
Scooby Doo.
Yep.
Oh.
Don't really. Weirdly, don't know enough of the next one. And six is any of the above.
All right, that's fine then. That's just.
That game sucked. We should play the.
What?
We should play Trivial Pursuits
again.
Well,
we can't go
better.
Back to the gold already. This is weird, though. This game, because I don't know the Wanted. I don't know. Tick Tock by.
Well, then you'd lose a point, wouldn't you?
Key dollar
sign. Oh, here
come
the beverages.
Yeah.
Oh,
time
yeah.
For the tea.
Oh, lovely, lovely tea. I've got a lovely cup
I've
of...
I've gone for the clever suggestion of decaffeinated herbal tea and Ooh. Not anything involving caffeine or sugar, which is a disastrous idea.
You might be doing the right
thing.
I've
got a lovely cup of black
Thank
coffee,
you.
Java.
I can feel a crash coming on. That's what I know. I've had the energy drinks and this is the coffee time.
That's Java, so. Nick's on the moo juice.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So over the next few hours, then we're going to have Ash, we're going to have Nick Revel stopping by, and also we're going to have the fantastic Stuart Laws. So we should be fine, I think, once someone comes in and helps us.
You've got some late-night stuff from the US, haven't you? Like
yeah,
some,
we're going to sort that out as well. I'm just going to have a quick look.
It's very exciting.
Are we going to read any of Jem's stories now?
Jem's? No, because they're novels.
No, he sent you a link to some stories.
Did he? I didn't get that. What on?
This is intolerable!
Always intolerable. It's pathetic.
He'll be very disappointed if we don't read some of his stories.
I'm just glad.
I'm going to have to carry on disappointing people like I do every day of my life. How's the coffee?
Oh, that coffee.
I'm just glad I got that fake gig I made up to go.
Should have thought of that myself. Oh, Eli, I've got a gig I've got to get to.
Yes, you're going to have to do it.
Five
what about
hours
the ghost hunt?
Yeah, we're going to do that.
I could leave the room then.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you can go sit somewhere quiet and have a nap for a while.
Well, at some point, at some point I'm going to have a nap,
yeah,
right?
We need to talk about this now then. How long, if we have a nap, do you have a nap for? Half an hour?
Yeah.
Half an hour's doable.
Yeah. Well, is there not an app you can download for your nap?
I don't know. An app app.
An app app.
Oh, the ghost flickered the lights. No. It's the ghost flickering the lights. It's a ghost doing it. We should do the Ouija board. George, if you're there, touch me. Yeah, no, I'm just not beginning to buy this whole ghost thing.
Has Fubar tried to rehabilitate that Justin Lee Collins?
No one can do that. No, well,
I see him walking around sometimes.
Lost.
He looks angry. He's got that look on his face like I'm angry.
Scornful. And threatening?
No, just like, don't fucking try it.
That's threatening.
No, it's more like, if you try it, then I'll get threatening.
It's one before
Well,
where do you see him hanging around then?
Just around London Bridge. I think he works around
under
there.
London Bridge.
Yeah, on the...
Tower Bridge, sorry.
On the Tower Bridge?
Well, on the bank.
Scraping barnacles off the bridge.
Yeah. You don't get barnacles on a bridge.
No?
No.
Not even if the tide rises.
You get the barnacles. What if it was a ship bridge?
If it was a ship bridge that was sort of floating around...
Yeah.
Then you would get some barnacles.
Like a boat.
Yes.
Like a boat.
More like a boat.
Good to know.
Bless my barnacles.
People eat barnacles. And another fact about barnacles...
Go on.
They've discovered it's got the strongest natural glue in nature. Mm. That's why they're so hard to get off.
I don't know why that made me laugh. It was just the way you said it. It was just like it was a matter of fact kind of sexual
thing.
It is
a matter of fact.
Yeah, you never try to pull off a barnacle?
No, never.
No. I've tried.
Mm. Oh, this is really a texting saying? What is she saying?
I'm not coming.
Yeah, she's got sick kids. Beginning to see a motif.
Illness. Children.
I just like these people with sick children. I think what they're really doing is rubbing our noses in it. Well, you know, we'll all die alone.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Without kids.
No, I'm looking forward to having kids. I'd like to have kids. I'd like to impart my wisdom.
I'd like to start the campaign right now for neutering Paul Gannon.
Yes, I think...
How dare you?
We're going to spend this money not on going to Comic Relief. We're going to spend it on Gannon.
Getting Gannon the snip.
Chemical castration. Nothing wrong. I've got good sperm.
I know you have. That's why we need to stop it escaping and progenerating.
Yeah. I could just use condoms.
Yeah, but you just said you wanted kids.
Yeah, I do.
Why?
Because I like the idea of being a dad, I want to impart my knowledge and wisdom onto a next generation of children who will hopefully turn this world around and make it a better place.
They won't care about Ghostbusters, Paul. They will not care. Unless the reboot's good.
That's what I'm saying. The reboot will make it all good again. And I'll be great, because Ghostbusters will be the new super thing, and I'll be the top of it.
Do you think the film will be great? In all honesty, do you think it's going to be good?
It's going to depend on tone. Because the weird thing about Ghostbusters is, even though it's a supernatural comedy, the tone of it is realistic, it's naturalistic. And a lot of it is kind of blue-collar comedy. It's kind of the working stiffs versus the kind of white-collar bureaucrats who probe. And that's part of the joy. What I don't see is that being a factor in the new one. I'm not saying it won't be. They may have written a really good script, but...
I doubt it.
It's just the director, this guy called Paul Feig. I used to be a big fan of until like his last two movies were
which were what?
Heat and the new one, Spy. Both.
Heat was made by Michael Mann.
No, The Heat.
Ah, yeah, not that one. Yeah, The Heat, sorry. With Sandra Bullocks and Melissa McCarthy. And his new one's called Spy with Melissa McCarthy. And he directed
Bridesmaids
with
Melissa McCarthy. Yeah.
So, and I like Melissa McCarthy. I can't keep saying that. It's really hard. I like her, but every film she's been in has played to that whole pratfalling, fat, stereotype kind of character.
Yeah.
And I don't want that.
To be Ghostbusters.
I don't want that model. Because here's the thing. From what I understand of what was leaked out about the script when the whole Sony Hacks thing was going on, what I understood was she's playing a Rick Moranis kind of character. The kind of goofy doofball who stumbles across the main supernatural plot and then becomes a Ghostbuster through it. And so I just... You know what I mean?
It's just another have-to-have the hero's journey.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be like...
Oh, I'm so bored of the hero's journey.
The hero's journey.
Imagine if Ghostbusters were seen for the eyes of Rick Moranis.
Yeah, that would be shit.
Yeah, and I'm, who knows? But if that's the route they go with, it's kind of not appealing to me. But from what I've understood about it, they are keeping it kind of with the bureaucracy, the government stuff. There's lots of there's a character, I believe, in the thing who works for the government, who gives bursaries to Ghostbusters, but at the same time has to decry them.
So is that going to be the Chris O'Dowd inevitable casting character?
Yeah, it's very likely, yes. It's very likely.
You know what they should reboot?
Anything that's bad, because they should stop rebooting good films.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go, we're agreement.
Yeah.
What would you like to see rebooted? A bad film that deserves...
Not a bad film, but a film that could be... It wouldn't actually matter.
Yeah.
Not that it actually matters anyway.
Nah, it never matters these days.
I'm trying to think now.
Because here's the thing, I don't mind... I think the problem is not rebooting films. It's the idea of rebooting full stop that bugs me. And I think I said this a while ago, but, like, you look at the films that have been rebooted and released, like Total Recall and RoboCop, and they are just good films, but in 6 months they're in a bargain bin. You know, in like HMV.
See, this is what I mean. Good films?
Well, no.
Really, the RoboCop...
As films. No, but if you'd watched the new RoboCop film and it hadn't been RoboCop, you probably would have gone, have you seen that new thing? It's quite good. It's been like RoboCop.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been your vibe. But you wouldn't have gone, this RoboCop film's not RoboCop. What the fuck are they doing?
Right. I see what you mean.
That's what I mean. It's so, like, not saying, like, good, like, this is a masterpiece, but, you know, if it wasn't...
It wouldn't have been as bad.
You know, but it was like...
You might have even had more... You know, plaudits had it not been called RoboCop. Yeah. It's just been called, you know, Cyber Policeman.
Yeah, and it could even have been just set in the world of RoboCop. It didn't have to be a reboot. Could have just been another RoboCop. You know, like, and which even then would have been annoying, but at least it would have been just another RoboCop film.
And that's what I don't get, because basically reboots seem to be like sequels without them having to deal with the baggage of the previous film.
Without having to, yeah.
And but it's always sequels or prequels to films that we're not allowed to have sequels to because there's no market for it, but they'll reboot it.
Yeah.
And well, there's obviously a market for it then. If there isn't, just do... I don't know, it just doesn't make any sense. It's like,
it seems counterproductive. It seems like they want the brand and they want the recognised title or whatever, but they, for some reason, don't want the association with it and they think they're making something better. But if anyone saw Total Recall, there's nothing about that film that in any way would say that's a better film than Arnie's.
My favourite thing about the Total Recall remake... or reboot, whatever you want to call it, is that the film company that made it is called Original Films. So at the beginning, a big thing comes up going, Original Films presents Total Recall.
Not an original film.
It's quite far from
genuinely,
it.
I pissed myself. Which is, not literally.
Because even though it wasn't a great film, the best example of a reboot, not reboot sequel was probably Predators. In that, for all intents and purposes, you never actually have seen the first two to get what happened to him.
Yeah, which, like I say, Predators is like watching a tribute band do Predator. Is that you spend the whole time going, this is Predator, but it's not Predator.
It's not at all.
I just wish they'd stop... Basically, I really like Predator. I'm quite a big fan of Predator 2. It's nowhere near as good as Predator 1, but it's not
It's
shit.
Got its charm.
Everyone hates Predator, but Predator 2 is great.
Yeah. Bill Paxton's... Voodoo magic, man.
That scene, like that. Which we're not allowed
fucking
to do, but that's the
magic,
best scene.
Man.
Yeah.
Can't see the eyes of the demon until him come calling. That's one of the best scenes ever.
Cool.
The King Willy bit where he just, you know...
The evil Rastafarians. Yeah. That's brilliant. Yeah.
But just that, that whole scene, it really just, you know, you guys need to quit smoking. Just fucking, that's one of the best scenes in any film. Brilliant.
It's like I was saying to you the other day, it's like, even though it's not a great film, one of my favourite lines is from Street Fighter the movie, where Raul Julia is confronted by some girl whose village was destroyed, and he goes, you know, to you, you remember the day forever that came into your village and destroyed your family and raped your friends and stole your money, but for me, it was Tuesday. You know, there's some great lines in there, and that was... Yeah. Who scripted that as well? It was the guy who did Die Hard.
Stevie D'Souza.
Yeah, he did the script for that. And he was a massive fan of Street Fighter, allegedly. Yeah. So that's why there's some fidelity to the game. But weirdly, it pulls its punches.
How come they don't make movies of games so much these days? It's all superheroes or reboots.
Well, they did. It's straight-to-video shit that no one cares about.
It's like,
really,
did you see the Prince of Persia movie?
No.
Did you see...
That had Jake Gyllenhaal in it.
Yeah. Did you see... come on, brain. Battleships. No one saw Battleships. This is the thing. Just basing on
that
board
wasn't
game.
Even a computer game.
No.
That was a board game.
Yeah.
A shit board game.
I would say the only decent film ever based
What's
on a
game.
What's
the strategy in Battleships?
You sunk my battleship.
It's like, there's a boat around here because I must have hit a part of the boat. Oh, is it over here? No.
It's a
is
strategy
it over
game.
Here?
Yeah, that's the point of it.
It's not strategy. It's
it
bullshit.
It is strategy, isn't it?
It's guessing where the boat is game. Is that strategy?
Yes. You have to use deduction to figure out on the grid where you find your next torpedo.
You hit one part of the boat.
Why are you so pissed off at like a 40-year-old classic game?
It's not a classic. This is what I mean.
Those pricks.
Yeah. It's shit. And it's weird. Ooh. When you ask people good board games are.
Yeah.
And they actually get them to rate these classics like Monopoly or Snakes and Ladders. Snakes and Ladders is utter shit. It's the most boring. And so is Monopoly. Well, Monopoly's shit. You know what makes it so shit? Someone could basically start winning and there's no way you can catch them up. And the game takes another 2 hours to finish and you're just never going to catch them. They won. They won in the first half hour and there's no way you're going to catch them. And you have to play for the rest of the game. There's no chance you're going to catch them up. It's bullshit.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
Battleships is like that.
And on that bombshell...
The Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge on FUBAR Radio.
And yes, please donate if you can, if you should. Go to my dot. You know what, Eli, you read it then.
I'll
for
read
a change.
It out.
Go on.
Excuse me.
Read it
slowly.
If you'd like to donate, and please do, because that's what this is all about at the end of the day.
It is about that.
Then please go to my.resna...
Yeah, not so easy after all, Mr. Silverman.
Who's laughing now, jackass?
Please go to my.res...
Oh, juicy, juicy, juicy. Go on.
How difficult is red to say? It's not difficult.
It's not seemingly difficult.
Not at all. Not for me.
If you'd like to donate, and we really want you to...
Now they feel threatened.
my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/geekatorium27podcast. That's my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/geekatorium27podcast.
Awesome.
That's way too long.
It is.
What were you thinking?
But as I say, you can go to www.geekatorium.net or foobarradio.com. The link's all over there. You just go onto the website, click it, click the link, go to the giving page. Job done. How hard could that be? And tweet us. You can tweet us.
Tweet us.
You can tweet us at Foobar Radio or at The Geekatorium. And just send us your thoughts and stuff.
What would be really nice is to know which one of us is your favourite.
Oh, don't. I can't do it. I can't do it with my ego being kicked.
Let's have a competition.
No, because I'm going to lose. I always lose.
Let's have a dick-swinging competition.
No.
I'd rather have a popularity competition. I've got a chance.
There. I don't want to do a dick-swinging competition. Not if Rufus Allen comes back.
Yeah, he's got must have an elongated one. Yeah. From all that hammer swinging.
Maybe got a bit more purchase on it.
Well, you know, it's a crude but maybe effective dick stretcher.
Well, if you've been looking at those adverts online and wondering how you can improve the size of your girth and manhood size, maybe you just need to dangle a big hammer from it and try and break eggs on your chest.
I think they do sell those, don't they? Dick stretchers.
Yeah, they do.
Dick stretcher? Yes.
Dick stretcher!
Ah, get your dick stretcher here!
Yeah. Dick stretcher!
I think the madness is beginning to set
in.
No,
it's
now.
Beginning. Yeah, beginning. Maybe.
Beginning.
It really has set in.
It's I'm full of green tea. I have no idea what's going on.
Is that decaf green tea?
I don't know.
Didn't know green tea would have been caffeinated in the first place.
No, it has caffeine.
Yeah. Oh, not much. Remember.
Not much, but enough.
Less than normal tea.
Less than normal tea.
Proper tea.
Whoa. I'm going to give you a cup of tea with me in a minute. I can't wait.
I'm enjoying this coffee.
Yeah, coffee's lovely. Thank you. We've got coffee coming in. Lovely.
Coffee.
So,
yeah, go on.
What are the best zombies?
The ones that don't run, although I got nothing against running zombies.
I quite like the running ones.
Well, I always said that the only zombies I allow to run are the ones in dead snow.
Because
they're Nazis.
They're Nazi zombies.
But then technically they're dragoons, aren't they? They're sort of, they're ghouls, come back for the... So they're not technically zombies, but...
What makes them come back?
Well, it's because their treasure gets stolen, so it's like they're kind of like sort of. It's more of a. Oh, it's too late to.
Supernatural
beings rather than the dead who've come back to life. It's more like a sort of a curse.
Yeah.
Rather than like the resurrection.
So they're allowed
to
run.
Well, also they're Nazis, so anything other than running would be complete. Would not be ruthlessly efficient enough.
No.
They'd
have to run. Yes.
Yeah. Do you have a favourite zombie?
I like. The classic Romero zombies.
Mm.
I just think those that
you know, those are brilliant.
And like shuffling, oncoming.
I like the remake of Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, and that had running zombies.
Was good. That was a reboot that I've enjoyed.
Yeah, and it put Mr. Zack Snyder on the map.
That was Zack
James
Schneider.
Gunn.
Yeah, and James Gunn.
That was good. I liked that film quite a lot, actually, I have to say.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's got a good cast as well, like, because there's enough A-listers, so like, but and enough character actors, but they work together well, so it doesn't feel like it's one person's movie. You know, it is like an ensemble piece, which is quite good, because then you're never really sure who's going to die.
Yeah.
Because, I know... about prequels and stuff earlier, but I always find it a little bit annoying when you go, well, clearly he's not going to die because that's Tom Cruise. You know, like, it's always a little bit disappointing when you think it'd be nice to actually not know
who's going to die
in a film, who's going to die.
I think what makes that film work for me most is the fact that at the very end it still makes you think that they're still fucked no matter what. You get the happy ending still of them escaping on the boat and then
it's
the
not
island
happy, yeah.
But then they get there, it's just more misery and death and horror.
Yeah,
that they have to look
forward
to. It is
horror, isn't it?
And that's kind of that's what you need to preserve with zombie films, the nihilism.
Well, what's happened with zombie films? There's like that zombie love film.
What's that?
How can you fall in love? The whole point is it's mindless. Well, the zombie's mindless.
Spoiler alert, love cures zombies in that film.
That's fucking shit.
I will
isn't
say
it?
This, though, in the book, not that I've read it, but this is what I've learned. The book doesn't have that resolve. The book's got a very different ending, but in the movie, it's like, yeah, if they just fall in love, that kills a zombie.
What I do quite like now is that, because zombies are like really saturated, everything's
got,
but like, and also, you know, like, if it's not a zombie, it's basically a zombie. Like, I'm trying to think, you know, most Doctor Who's monsters are basically zombies, aren't they? Like, that's sort of what the...
Or else, there's something that has something to do with whether you look at them or not, or think about them or not. That's the whole shtick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you don't look at them and they come for you, or you have to look at them and they come for you, or you don't think about them and they come for you, or you do think about them and they're coming for you. It's something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, like TV license fans.
But what I do like about zombies now, is you get lots of movies which are like about sort of really tiny facets of what it would be like if there was a zombie apocalypse, and then they branch out. So sometimes they work really well. Like, there's a German film which is really good where they're just stuck in a sort of a square like tower block. It's like a sort of a fenced off complex thing. So it's like a sort of gated complex. There's like a courtyard in the middle, and then like a gate, and then it's like flats in a square.
And it's just that one location.
And basically, but it's things where like the zombie apocalypse happens, and they can't go anywhere because they're stuck in this thing. And then it's people are like, has anyone got any paracetamol? Cause I've got a headache. And it's like, I've got some. And they're like, just trying to throw the paracetamol like across, like past the food room. But
it's
not tedious.
Great.
It's funny. And then a zombie breaks in the house and they manage to shut them in there and they in this room and they're like, I need a wee. And it's like, I can't go to the toilet because I can't get out of this room because the zombies are there. And it's just like, what would you actually do?
Mundane, everyday stuff.
But like, if the zombies attacked like this building, how would we act? Like, the whole film would just be us trying to get out of this like this recording studio for 90 minutes because it would take 2 hours to get properly out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And to know the thing's going to happen in the first place and the build of it.
And that French, was it the Horde? Did you see that? The French one?
That was good.
With like the police go and raid a tower block at the same time that basically the zombie apocalypse happens as the police decide to take down like a tower block.
Oh, right.
It's a bit like the raid, but imagine if at the time they're doing the raid,
there's zombies.
Zombies rise up and take over Paris.
See, I would love that. I would love a zombie film in the mould of Die Hard. Die Hard kind of zombie, you know, guy trapped in a block, has to fight his way out, zombies.
Slightly more low key, but it's just like, you know.
Yeah,
slightly more first person.
Yeah, exactly. Something kind of intimate.
What would it be called? Undie Hard.
I would call it Dead Easy.
Dead Hard.
Dead Hard.
He's dead hard, he is.
It's not a bad idea, is it?
You can make it slightly sexy as
but
well.
I just think, right, so you've got these classic monsters, the werewolf, Dracula.
Mummy.
And the mummy.
Yeah.
And then zombies came a bit later into, didn't they?
I think the first zombie film I ever saw that wasn't Romero zombies was a Hammer film. Island of the Zombies.
But those were different. Those were different kind of zombies.
They were slaves, like voodoo slaves.
Yeah, it was like the white zombie, wasn't it? Which was the I walk with a zombie, or all those sort of
50s.
Do you think there's going to be a whole new category of horror creature that will emerge at any point? It's hard to imagine it happening. You know?
Yeah, it is hard to imagine. Because
it's like Slender Man, isn't there?
That's
because of the online. So you have to have more online things that fit in with cyber technology because
that's
the
old
thing, you know, like anything that's old.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's have a song, and then when we come back, we can talk about Creepypasta, which is exactly that thing, all right?
Creepypasta.
Yeah, that's what they call online internet kind of ghost stories and things like that. Stuff, horror stories that originate online, they've got a term called creepypasta. So we can talk about a few
as
of those.
As in the pasta of the church, not...
No. Pasta as in P-A-S-T-A.
Oh, really?
I'll explain why after this, which is...
Well, I'm interested in sticking around. I'm sure you should too, folks.
Yeah.
And donate money!
Yay. All right, in that case, let's give you a bit of Tenacious D. This is Rise of the Phoenix.
The Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge on FUBAR Radio.
Hello,
yay,
everyone.
Hey!
It's 1:36.
The thing is, we notice that each of our hoorays are becoming less and less enthusiastic. It's like, oh, God. So, yes, welcome back to the 27-hour challenge that we're going to try and do. We are broadcasting non-stop from 8 p.m. last night till 11 p.m. tonight.
Yeah!
Yeah! So we have got, let's do the math now. We've got one hour and eight hours. We've got 20 hours. I don't know. We got a lot of time. I'm already beginning to feel my brain fizzing to nothingness.
Once,
in my skull.
The nearest I've ever done to this thing before, I never do any like 24-hour challenges or anything like that, but I did watch, because I had it on DVD, season 4 of 24 in 24 hours.
Oh.
Because each episode's only 42 minutes long without adverts. Mm. So 24 does not... So I basically watched about 10 o'clock in the evening. I put it on, watched it straight through till 6 in the morning, had a kip for 4 hours, and then woke up and thought, I might as well watch the rest of it, then watched the rest of it, and it finished at 10 o'clock. Basically, so you really appreciate how tired Jack Barrett and how frustrated and annoyed he is by all the bullshit that everyone throws at him.
Was that for charity?
No, it's just because I don't have anything else to do.
So I did that. When the first season of 24 came out, me and my mate Luke, who you've met, we decided to watch it. So we'd start every hour on the hour, but then have that 15-minute break, because, you know, it was only 45 minutes of the advert, so that you could take that 15 minutes to go pee, go grab a food, and then we'd come back and start again. Because I think everyone binge-watches now because of, like, Netflix and stuff like that. But I think 24 might have been the first TV series in modern times that started binge-watching, when you got box sets and you devoured
them. Well, the box set.
But also it was because, you know, like, there wasn't the internet to download it, but then also it wasn't on telly.
No.
Like, so it was on, you'd have to, like, buy it. I mean, it was, you know, maybe it's on Sky or something, but they showed, like, some of it on the BBC, but, like, after it was on. So I, like, would watch, you know, I'd get the box set and watch it, and it was like, oh, I've seen it. Like, now I've seen it all. It just seemed a lot easier to, like, you know, because something like 24, that's it's really gripping, but it is the death of watching stuff on telly, because you can't watch something like that weekly, because you'd just be too frustrated not be able to watch another one.
And 24 spends most of its time spinning its wheels, doesn't it? Oh, hello. I'm just gonna ignore that for a sec, because Stuart Laws is outside. Do you want to banter about 24 and I'll go get him?
Someone's going.
All right, we've got one of our studio monkeys to go and go fetch our next guest. That's exciting.
Very exciting. I read the other day that sorry to bring the tone down here, but binge watching is
deadly.
Something that people who are suffering from clinical depression do.
But that's one of those things which is possibly true, but then it's almost like, how do you not, like, if you don't have clinical depression and you watch it, do you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah, it's like chicken and the egg.
It's
isn't
a sort of like, I'm not saying there are, but yeah, it just seems like, well, that's just how people watch stuff. Like, it's not like, I don't know, just seems a bit of an odd thing. I mean, it probably is true.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not true, but it seems like an odd sort of sweeping generalisation when you think, I've specifically saved up all these TV shows to watch, and I'm going to watch, spend an evening and watch them. That's like, well, I could have gone out to the theatre. It's the same thing as going, that play's on in March. Yeah. I'll wait till March to go and see that play. Well, people who go and see plays are clinically depressed. No, I just waited till it came out, and now I can see it tonight, and I spent an evening at the theatre.
Yeah, I get your point, but I think what they're talking about is when you sort of just lie around in bed all day, incessantly watching.
Yeah. But that's not binge-watching, that's grazing, isn't it? That's not, you know, binge-watching infers that you watch... You set out deliberately to watch 5 or 6 episodes or 3 or 4 episodes of a show, and that's not the same thing. But that's not what they're talking about. So
not
they need to
redefine it.
Redefine their parameters.
Well, again, going back to 24, one of the horrible things is that you watch that non-stop for a day, and in that 24-hour space, Jack Bauer has saved the world. In that time, I've sat in my pants and drank tea, and maybe I won or two.
And he's died twice and come back to life.
Yeah. I mean, literally,
someone's been shot in the head and 3 hours later has come out of surgery.
He's done a lot of stuff.
I used to get so pissed off in the early seasons of 24 when it was just like Jack Bauer's driving from A to B, so we had to cut to Kim fighting
cougars. It's always the worst stuff. It's always the worst. The worst thing that happened in 24 was whenever he said, I'm 20 minutes out. And you'd be like, oh, for fuck's sake. Now it's going to be either the stupid CTU soap opera, Kim doing some bullshit, or the fucking White House, which no one gives a shit about.
Gives a shit.
Oh, your kids. Who cares about you? Like, It took 24 about four and a half seasons, almost up to season five, to realise no one cares about Kim.
No one cares.
Like, and it's not her fault. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel sorry for her because she got lumbered with the character that has to be in it.
Sorry, who's Kim? His wife?
His daughter.
His daughter. Oh,
right. His wife is brutally murdered in the end of the first season.
Because the whole point is that it's like, I never understand with all these shows. Maybe it's just because I don't have a wife or child or children. But it's always in these movies, it's always, so there's a bomb going to blow up LA.
Yeah.
But that's not enough for Jack Bauer to worry about. His daughter's in LA. Now he gives a shit. It's like, surely, like... Oh, but no, we're supposed to... No. Like, a bomb blowing up a city should be enough motivation for a character to give a shit.
Yeah.
Without his having his fucking kid in there as well. And also, if you bring his kid into it, what that means is we have to have loads of scenes with his fucking kid. Which is always the worst thing. And it's like, my heart sinks. Whenever I watch any show, it's like, what are you doing? Oh, well, I'm going to have a meeting with my ex-wife. And I'm like, oh, I'll just skip the next 20 minutes. Probably going to be brilliantly acted. Blinder, I don't fucking care about your family.
Yeah.
Don't care about your children. Just fucking shoot terrorists.
Please shoot terrorists.
Just shout, damn it, shoot terrorists. I don't fucking care about any of this horseshit.
Because what would happen is you'd watch the episode and then for like 40 minutes of it, not much happens unless it's a sweeps episode. But in the last 5 minutes, that's when they draw the stakes. You know, that's when, oh no, there's a gunfight and a shootout and then it's like, there's a cliffhanger and then you think, what's going to happen next week? I can't wait. And you tune in and then they just tie up that cliffhanger like that and move on to 40 more minutes of
Of talking to the kids and the wife.
Because you can play bingo with 24. You can write down all the things that always happen. Like, one, there's always a mole in CTU.
Yeah, yeah.
Always someone who's a traitor. Secondly, there's always someone who works for the president who's a bad guy working for the main bad guy. Right?
Yeah.
There's always a bad guy who's established at the beginning of the series who ends up not being the bad guy but the kind of second in command. Then the proper big bad comes in. But then maybe there's another big bad. I mean, I think season one had three big bads that had to end with Dennis Hopper, didn't it?
The thing about season one,
he was the top bad guy, tell me.
But the thing about season one was that they weren't sure it was going to get cancelled. So 24 is essentially two
things. It wraps up halfway through the day.
So in case it didn't get renewed, it ends with like... So the first story, isn't it, the kidnapping. And it's like he's got to like shoot the president he has. And then the third thing is like Victor...
Dennis Hopper turning up for revenge.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, so it's quite good, and then the second one is quite, you know, but it's just, then it's like, oh, there's another mole. It's like, oh, there's another mole in CTU.
Well, that's the other thing as well. I mean, did you see
Who vets these people?
Did you see the London one?
Yeah, I like that.
Brilliant, because it was half the space.
It's 12 episodes, so most of the horse shit, all the filler was not required.
And then they just, because obviously it's still set in one day, but it's only 12 episodes. So what they did, which I thought was quite clever, was they did the plot in 12 hours, but in the last 50 minutes said, 12 hours later... And then it would cut to the end of the day, and it was like Jack Bauer going, "Ooh, what a busy day! Can't wait!"
But it was really good. The only thing that made me laugh was it was really nice to see London filmed like an action movie, which I always like that sort of thing. But just loads of stuff that made me laugh was one when they're in, I think, is it they're at Kennington?
Yeah.
And he jumps on the tube and he's getting the Northern line up to Charing Cross. And they're like, we're in the car, we'll be there in 5 minutes. And it's like, you won't even pull out of this junction in 5 minutes. There'll be so much. And it's like, they had to have accidents for there to be traffic. And you're like, this is London, mate.
You cannot get
anywhere. Unless you're an ambulance and you can get cars out of the way, you will not get anywhere.
No, that's always been the case of 24, though. Even when they were set in Los Angeles the first few seasons, it's always like, I'm just going to drive up PCH, which takes about 90 minutes, really, to get from one end to the other. It's like, oh, I'm in Malibu. What, in 20 minutes? Yeah.
It's an artistic licence. They have to have an artistic
license. The best season of 24, though, is season 5. Easily. And the great thing about it is it's got energy, it's witty. The president, who's basically the main bad guy, is a great character. And also, it's split up into like 4 6-hour adventures, and each one's a mini Die Hard. Like
that's
the first one.
Yeah, that's the one with the actor Julian Sands is one of the baddies, isn't
he? Yes, again, he's the big bad, but he's not.
And is it Peter Weller?
No, he's a big bad, I think, in the next
Is he six?
Season.
He's yeah. the one who like basically lets him kill his... Well, doesn't let him kill his wife, but doesn't yeah. tell him what's happening when he tortures his wife.
Peter Weller now turns up to play the guy who's in charge, who ends up being a villain. That's his old role.
As fascinating as this all is, guys, to someone who's never watched 24... Have we got our guest coming
yeah,
in?
Yeah, we can go fetch our guest. Can we bring in our... Bring in the guest!
Bring him to me!
Hi.
Hello. Yay!
Hey! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the studio, Mr. Stuart Laws, everybody. Hey. How are you?
Hey. Yeah, I'm all right, thanks.
Yeah.
It's late, isn't it?
It is
oh,
late.
My God.
Or is it early? I just don't know. We just don't know.
We just don't know. Take a seat, get comfortable. Are you? How have you been, mum?
I've been all right. I've just finished a gig in Windsor.
Ooh.
Windsor.
Classy.
How did it go?
It was very nice, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
There was 25 people in from the Blind Society, which was nice.
That's not a joke.
No.
I'm not saying it was a joke. Absolutely
not a joke.
Yeah.
And they sat on the front row.
And enjoyed it?
They did enjoy it. I have a routine about being colourblind, and they really enjoyed laughing at someone with a lesser disability than them.
Well, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah.
Christ. So, oh, God. We are at that point now where all the fired up new neurons in my brain are slowly giving up.
Really?
And it's only 10 to 2 in the morning, and so we've got a good...
We're going till 11 tonight, right?
Yeah, 11 tonight.
Wow.
Well, we are going to take a nap for half an hour at certain points throughout the thing, so Eli's going to have his first nap after his ghost hunt, I think.
Okay. Who's taking first watch?
It's always going to be me.
Who's on point?
Yeah, because Sandlin gets to escape in about 10 minutes.
Yeah!
And so,
I've got a gig tomorrow in Kent for kids. I'm doing a comedy club for kids gig tomorrow morning, so obviously I can't drive to Kent.
From here?
Well, this morning.
No.
I can't drive on no sleep.
Are you coming back?
I'm going to come back afterwards.
Okay.
I'm going to be here for as much as I can, but I think I might as well get some sleep.
Get some sleep for me.
You're saying that, but what would Jack Bauer do if Jack Bauer was doing this podcast?
Jack Bauer would have finished this podcast by now and saved the world.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have slept, would he?
No. I mean, he'd tried to, but he'd just be like, I don't understand.
One of the things I love about 24, and it's a common
trope. I thought the guest was going to...
No.
Right, I'm sorry, man, can I just...
Big fan.
Are you a big fan?
Huge fan.
Sake.
Love it.
This is what's going to... Do me in.
What? Talk about 24?
The fact that you know nothing about anything. Interesting.
Right, I'm going
to... I just snapped his brain.
I'm going to go chug a Red Bull. Okay? You talk about 24.
All right. Get some fresh air, mate.
To your little heart's content, Paul. Mm. Talk about a season fucking whatever.
Is that the equivalent of a mic drop?
Literally, that's the first time I've met that guy, and look at him. that attitude, unbelievable.
What sort of impression is he making on our fans? This is terrible.
What's your favourite season of 24?
Five.
Five?
Yeah, five. I was getting
five,
into it just
is
now.
Is five the nuke?
That's six, isn't it?
Most of them had nukes.
Well, six is when the nuke goes off in four, and it's...
And he has to kill his best mate as well.
No, that's three. Well, he's kiss killer people all the time, doesn't he?
Yeah. Is that when he kills Curtis? Oh, Curtis...
Yeah, Curtis
is six, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, he's just to shoot him on the lawn of that
that's
house.
That's out, when the bomb goes off in the
background. Spoiler, if you haven't seen 24, what the fuck have you been doing?
Yeah, catch up and we'll join you later. We'll still
be here. 24, I would say that the sort of, what's the phrase, the statute of limitations on spoilers for 24 is long since passed, because like, if you haven't seen it by now, you know. Well, basically, if you've seen the London one, you'll know who's alive.
Yeah.
Because they're in it.
It's very clear.
Everyone, like, yeah, it's one of those shows where if you see any trailers for the new season... Before it's done, it does basically spoil everything. Also, you forget Chloe's not in it from the start.
No,
you always think of her as being in it the whole time, but no, she's relatively new. It's season two, I think, though, isn't it?
I've a real soft spot for season one.
Yeah.
Partly because the DVD menu screens, when we'd leave them on loop, would have Ira Gaines going, "We're watching you." And that really creeped me out. That's really stuck with me.
I never remembered
what
that.
What's weird about season one is that the most ludicrous bit of season one is actually the thing that really happened. So the bit where, you know, she loses her memory, that was put in because that happened to one of the writer's wife or like really? Cousin. Like that happened to her.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, I'll put that in. So yeah. The thing that's like, this is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Actually is something that really happened. So it's like, that's the most realistic bit of all of season one. It's the most stupid bit.
Then you're going to tell me in series two, one of the writers was genuinely attacked by a mountain lion.
And had to survive with a survivalist somewhere in the backwoods. That's always been decried as when it, not so much it jumped the shark, but that was when that character lost all integrity.
It gently leaped the mountain lion.
I was saying I like season five because it's the kind of the quickest in terms of it bounces from plot to plot, and it's every 6 hours is a little mini Die Hard. The first one's on the in the airport, the next bit's on the in the oil rig sense, you know, the power station, and there's like the other submarine, and then the awesome bit where he lands a massive jet, an airplane on the LA motorway, which
it's season five. Yes. It's the season five, the one which gets, you know, the seal of approval by having Mark Shepherd guest starring it for two episodes.
Does it? I didn't comment.
He's one of the Russians that he has to go and
everything.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like Mark Shepherd's in season five for two episodes.
You know, we need to scrap this whole, you know, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, because the real answer is 6 degrees of that guy you just said. Christ, my brain.
Mark Shepherd,
because he has done.
He's in everything.
Everything now.
Yeah. He's guest starred in pretty much every show.
Yeah, what, Supernatural?
He's a regular Supernatural, isn't he? They even managed to reboot the timeline of season five of Warehouse 13 so he can come back and be the bad guy. Brilliant.
That's when you know you got clout, when you can just waltz into a show you got killed off at and say, you can bring me back.
And he was a good guy to start with, and they went, you know what? No one likes Mark Shepherd as a good guy. I mean, I do. I think he's great. So let's have him as a bad guy.
Yeah,
just get him back and make him a bit more hello boys, like perfect.
And then they go and ruin it by putting him in Doctor Who and making him do an American accent.
I know,
accent.
It's like, I mean, it was great, but it's like, come on, what we want is we want full on Shepherd.
Yeah, because what he was, they make a big deal, well not a big deal, but because his character was gay in Doctor Who.
Yeah,
and then they mention it and then like, no, forget about it. And I was kind of like, that's great, you know, equal rights, but at the same time, don't bring it up if that has no bearing on the plot. No bearing on your character development. If you're just gonna, hold his hand.
This fella's gay.
Yeah.
What?
No, it wasn't. It was at the end, wasn't it? Where it's like the problem of marrying someone, and Nixon's like black.
Yeah.
You know, black, like, and he goes, yes, he is.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
That's the payoff.
Yeah, and again, it's
funny, but at the same time, it's like this doesn't. Yeah, it's just like it's a shit joke that's kind of like.
When they brought in Captain Jack, I thought that was actually a properly brave thing to do. And also, that character's sexuality had a big impact on what that character did and who he reacted to. And so
I'm Doctor Who now.
Yeah, well, you might want to go for another cigarette.
Well, we've gone via Mark Shepherd. I think we should stick with Mark Shepherd, who's, amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know too much of his work.
White Collar. He was in some of the White Collar episodes. Do you know Mark Shepherd is?
I'm trying to picture this.
Do you watch Firefly?
No.
Do you watch Supernatural?
No.
You watch 24?
Which one's 24?
I think Hang on,
which one's Mark Shepherd on this image list?
He's the rugged handsome.
None of these are rugged and handsome on here. Ah, I know who he is.
Yeah,
of
course you do.
Yeah, he's great.
He's in everything, but he's brilliant.
Yeah.
He's a Battlestar. Is he the lawyer in Battlestar? Battlestar. X-Files, he's the one who, he's the Irish guy who burns everything down.
Okay, X-Files. Right, so.
Yeah, he's great.
I've only watched every single episode of X-Files up to end of season five, I think. And then you.
We had Justin here before.
Yeah, I know what happened Justin here, and I'm kicking myself.
Oh, we got all fizzy. And then
the
she had to leave quite
amazing.
Quickly.
She's incredible.
Yeah, she's an incredible actress. And the great thing about it is, you expect her to say, oh, I don't want to talk about X-Files, don't talk about it. But she seems like she enjoys it. And she was saying that she wanted to be in Ghostbusters, and I would have loved to have seen her in that. That would have been...
Yeah, I don't think she's got the profile for it, unfortunately, in the States.
Well, because Melissa McCarthy is all up in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough then.
She's relocated here. She lives here, doesn't she?
Yeah, well, that's because you see the accent in it. Because she was brought up in London.
She's British,
Where was she brought up? Liverpool?
I don't know. Oh, it's always Liverpool.
No, it's always Liverpool. The person who plays Samantha in...
That's right, Kim... No.
Kim Cattrall.
Yeah.
Or as I like to call her, the lovely one from Police Academy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
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 That was her big break. And then
Police Academy, I've seen that.
Yay! You can join in now.
Yeah. Well,
I remember watching Police Academy as a kid and not getting that whole scene at all with the woman hidden underneath the dais as he's given the speech.
Mate, I've got a Police Academy.
Here we go.
Finally, this podcast is finally cranking into gear.
Now he's smiling.
My mate Virgil had it on VHS, yeah?
Yeah.
And this was when it sort of came out, a year after or whatever. And you know there's that bit where they're all dancing around the fire on the beach?
Yeah.
And they start getting their... Getting topless. He paused it at that point.
Yeah.
When there was like
boobs,
four boobs. And then he was sort of like pretending to wank with it paused. And then his dad came in.
And he came.
No, he wasn't actually wanking. Because we were young. We were pre.
Is this Four Boobs thing the sequel to the Four Candles?
Yeah.
Four boobs.
Hang on, four boobs or four boobs?
No.
So, that was like the most boob I'd seen up to that point.
I think my first.
How many?
Four boobs.
All in one. I remember the first, I wouldn't say adult picture I ever saw, but it was one of those.
It's an adult film.
No, it was a bachelor party.
Brilliant.
Oh. And that film, I mean, it's base and it's crass, and, you know, but I adore that film, if only for the scene where the donkey snorts cocaine.
The thing about Bachelor Party is it's like it's rated 18, it's like a racy comedy, but apart from like two nude scenes, it's
how
really,
many boobs are in it?
There's four boobs.
There's four boobs.
Yeah, I forget the name of the woman who is the.
She was the poor Kitty.
No, it's not her. I'm sure it's not her. Not Kitty Tawat Kadwain.
Yeah, I thought that was her.
I don't think so.
As the love interest.
I mean, who's the woman who comes in the dream? It's like, you should sleep with this girl.
I don't know.
The one who comes in and she's got the different heads on her when she's topless.
Four heads.
No. Four heads.
Four heads.
Just to clear it up, there were more than four boobs in that scene. But no, he paused it.
It's amazing. People of a certain age.
So there was only four boobs.
People of a certain age and like Police Academy really sort of not was like a brilliant film necessarily, but everyone knows all the cultural reference points from it. Like, there's a certain way you just freeze Dirtbag and, you know, like Blue Oyster Club. Everyone knows, like, all the sort of.
It was a very funny movie. Yeah. It was actually very funny.
Yeah.
It was. The sequels were bullshit. The first one actually had some good, solid laughs in it.
First one's rated 15. I think the rest of them are all PG.
Yeah. There's some good ones, like when Lassard's getting blown. That's hilarious.
I didn't get that until I was much older. I honestly thought she was tickling him.
Maybe she is.
Wow.
In a certain kind of way, she was, I guess.
You had a sheltered upbringing, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yes, I did. Thank you. I left. Yeah. So we are coming up to 2 o'clock. And we've got another guest sitting outside, and Sang's going to say goodbye, I guess.
No, I don't know. I'll see what's going on.
A fair weather presenter, hey?
Well, I've got to go at some point, but I'm enjoying myself.
Well, then let's just milk it.
Yeah, let's
please.
Keep,
do you want me to tag out for a little bit?
No,
Stuart, please.
We'd rather have an embarrassment of riches than the poverty that we had an hour ago. When it was just us humming down the microphone.
It got pretty bad there.
Why would people tune in for that when they've got Hum FM?
Is there a Hum FM? And can we steal their listeners?
It's really great.
That's the plan. Yeah. And so we'll do that. And we'll come back at the top of the hour and we'll do the admin. Please donate and please get involved. Twitter, email us, studio@foobarradio.com. If you've got any comments, tweet us @foobarradio or @thegeekatorium. And please donate.
Donate.
Let's donate. Don't hate.
Don't hate. Donate.
Yes.
Four boobs.
Perfectly done, sir. Well done indeed. Right, let's do this thing. We'll see you in a bit.
The Geekatorium 27-Hour Podcast Challenge on FUBAR Radio.